Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Masechas Yuma Daf Lamed Gimel, the third parak, Armalahem Amamuna. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, this daf discusses the order of the daily morning service. Abai Mesadim Arachim Mishmei the Gemara Valiba the Abishalwa. Abai listed the order of the daily Mizbeach service based on the tradition that was received by the students in Yeshiva and in accordance with Abba Shaul. Marachas Gedola Kodemus Maracha Shnia, the main large maracha, precedes the secondary maracha for the Ketores. The Gemara brings up Brisa with the source for each maracha and suggests that perhaps the order should be reversed and the maracha for the Ketores should come first. When the Gemara answers that it's logical that the maracha Gedola should come first, Sheken Kaparasa Maruba, for a lot of Kaparas achieved on it, meaning all offerings of Brana except for the Ketores, the Gemara counters that perhaps the Maracha Shnia should come first, Sheken Machnisim Imenu Lifnim, for they take coals from it into the Kodesh Kodashim. To this, the Gemara answers that in addition to achieving Kapara more often, if wood from the Maracha Shnia was not found, then coals from the Maracha Gedola would be brought. Point number two, Abai's list states, V'dishim Mizbech HaPnimi Kodem HaTavis Chamesh Neros, that separating the ash from the inner altar precedes the cleaning of the five lamps of the menorah. Rav has said that the reason is in accordance with Reish Lakish, who said, Ein mavir na'al ha-mitzvahs, we do not pass over an opportunity to perform mitzvahs, and when a kohen goes into the heichal, he encounters the Mizbeach HaPnimi first. Rav said that we derive from the ruling of Reish Lakish of Ein mavirin al ha-mitzvahs, aburi d'ra'a al tatef da'asr, that bypassing the arm tefillin for the head tefillin is asr. Rashi explains, because a person's hand reaches the opposite arm before it reaches the head, one should not delay in putting on the arm tefillin on account of the head tefillin, even though the head tefillin have more kedusha. Therefore, the way to put them on is midra'a al tatefta, from the arm and then to the head. Tosos disagrees with Rashi's understanding, since the order of putting tefillin on is explicit in the pasuk, and there is no need for Reish Lakish's principle. Rather, he explains the Gemara to be discussing how tefillin should be returned to the bag. The head tefillin should be replaced first, so that the next day one will not have to bypass the head tefillin when reaching for the arm tefillin. And point number three, in Abai's list, the cleaning of the five lamps of the menorah comes before the zrika of the blood of the tamid, which comes before the cleaning of the other two lamps. Rapapa suggested to Abai, based on a consideration of psukim, that the Zrikas Adam of the Tamid should come first, since Mechaper Adif, an atoning act, has preference. The Gemara answered that this would work according to Reish Lakish, who said that the reason that some lamps are clean and then other lamps are clean afterward is Kedei Lahargish Kol Azara Kula, in order to arouse the entire Azara. Rashi explains this to mean to have extra activity and sounds generated by a new Avoda. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds the reason the cleaning is split is that the pasuk states the word boker twice, which implies chalkei l'shnei bekarim, a portion of the cleaning in two mornings, what service would come between the cleanings? Therefore, the blood service of the tamid comes between the cleanings. So once again, the three points are number one. This stuff discussed the order of the daily morning service. Abai Mesadim Arachim Mishmei the Gemor Baliba the Abishawa. Abai listed the order of the daily Mizbeach service based on the tradition that was received by the students in Yeshiva and in accordance with Abba Shaul. Marachas Gedola Kodemus Maracha Shnia, the main large Maracha, precedes the secondary Maracha with the Ketores. Now, the Gemara brings a brisa with the sources for each Maracha and suggests that perhaps the order should be reversed and the Maracha for the Ketores should come first. When the Gemara answers that it's logical that the Maracha Gedola should come first, Sheken Kaparas Maruba, for a lot of Kaparas achieved on it, meaning all offerings are brana except for the Ketores, the Gemara counters that perhaps the Maracha Shnia should come first, Shechen Machnisim Imenu Lifnim, for they take coals from it into the Kodesh Kodashim. To this, the Gemara answers that in addition to achieving Kapar more often, if wood for the Maracha Shnia was not found, then coals from the Maracha Gedola would be brought. Point number two, Abai's list states, V'dishim Yizbeach HaPnimi Kodem HaTavis Chamesh HaNeros, that separating the ash from the inner altar precedes the cleaning of five lamps of the menorah. Rav said that the reason is in accordance with Reish Lakish, who said, Ein mavir na'al ha-mitzvahs, we do not pass over an opportunity to perform mitzvahs, and when a kohen goes into the heichal, he encounters the Mizbeach HaPnimi first. Rav said that we derive from this ruling of Reish Lakish of Ein mavir na'al ha-mitzvahs, that Ebur d'ra'a atotef da'asr, that bypassing the arm tefillin for the head tefillin is asr. Rashi explains that because a person's hand reaches the opposite arm before it reaches the head, one should not delay putting on the arm tefillin on account of the head tefillin, even though the head tefillin have more kedusha. Therefore, the way to put them on is midra'a l'tatefta, from the arm and then to the head. Tosos disagrees with Rashi's understanding, since the order of putting tefillin on is explicit in the pasuk, and there's no need for Reish Lakish's principle. Rather, he explains the Gemara to be discussing how tefillin should be returned to the bag. The head tefillin should be replaced first, so that the next day one will not have to bypass the head tefillin when reaching for the arm tefillin. And point number three, in Abai's list, the cleaning of the five lamps of the menorah comes before the zrika of the blood of the tamid, which comes before the cleaning of the other two lamps. Rapapa suggested to Abai, based on a consideration of psukim, that the zrikas adam of the tami should come first, since mechaper adiv, an atoning act, has preference. The Gemara answered that this would work according to Rish Lakish, who said the reason that some lamps are cleaned and then other lamps are cleaned afterward is kedei lahargish kol hazar kula, in order to arouse the entire azar. Rashi explains this to mean to have extra activity and sounds generated by a new avoda. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds the reason the cleaning is split is that the pasuk states the word boker twice, which implies chalkei lishnei vakarim, apportion the cleaning in two mornings. What service would come between the cleanings? Therefore, the blood service of the tamid comes between the cleanings. All right, so now we go to our simon for daf lamed gimel, and our standard simon is a peg leg pirate. So here goes. The peg leg pirate, standing between a big fire and a small fire, insisted his crew put on their black armbands before their black bandanas and ordered them to clean out the lamps on the boat in two different shifts. Once again, in slow motion. The peg leg pirate, that must be more on daf lamed gimel. The peg-leg pirate standing between a big fire and a small fire, which reminds us this stuff discusses the order of the daily morning service. Marachas gadol kodemus l'marachas shnia. The main large maracha precedes the secondary maracha with the ketores. The Gemara brings a brisa with the source of each maracha and suggests that perhaps the order should be reversed and the maracha with the ketores should come first. When the Gemara answers that it's logical that the maracha gadol should come first, sheken kaparas meruba, for a lot of kapar is achieved on it, meaning all offerings are brought on it, except for the ketores, the Gemara counters that perhaps the maracha shnia should come first, sheken machnisim imenu lifnim, for they take coals from it into the kodesh kodashim. To this, the Gemara answers that in addition to achieving kapara more often, if wood for the maracha shnia was not found, then coals from the maracha gadola would be brought. So the peg-leg pirate, standing between a big fire and a small fire, insisted his crew put on their black armbands before their black bandanas, which reminds us, Abai list states that the Dishon Mizbeach Panimi comes before the Atavas Chamesh Haneros. So Rav has said that the reason is, in accordance with Reish Lakish, who said, Ein mavirin al mitzvahs. We do not pass over an opportunity to perform mitzvahs, and when a kohen goes into the heichal, he encounters the Mizbeach Panimi first. Rav has said that we derive from the swing of Reish Lakish of Ein mavirin al mitzvahs, that abur dera atotef to aser, that bypassing the arm tefillin for the head tefillin is aser. Rush explains that because a person's hand reaches the opposite arm before it reaches the head, one should not delay putting on the arm tefillin on account of the head tefillin, even though the head tefillin have more kedusha. Therefore, the way to put them on is midra l'tatefta, from the arm and then to the head. Tosfos disagrees with the Rashi's understanding, since the order of putting tefillin on is explicit in the pasuk, and there is no need for Reish Lakish's principle. Rather, he explains the Gemara to be discussing how tefillin should be returned to the bag. The head tefillin should be replaced first, so that the next day, one will not have to bypass the head tefillin when reaching for the arm tefillin. So the peg-leg pirate, standing between a big fire and a small fire, insisted his crew put on their black armbands before their black bandanas and ordered them to clean out the lamps on the boat in two different shifts. Which reminds us, in Abai's list, the cleaning of the five lamps in the menorah comes before the zrika of the blood of the tamid, which comes before the cleaning of the other two lamps. Rapapa suggested to Abai, based on a consideration of psukim, that the zrika sedam of the tamid should come first, since mechaper adif, an atoning act, has preference. The Gemara answered that this would work according to Reish Lakish, who said that the reason that some lamps are cleaned and then other lamps are cleaned afterward is kedei lahargish kol hazar al kula, in order to arouse the entire azar. Rashi explains this means to have an extra activity and sounds generated by a new avoda. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds the reason the cleaning is split is that the pasuk states the word boker twice, which implies chalkei l'shnei vakarim, apportion the cleaning in two mornings, what avoda would come between the cleanings. Therefore, the blood service of the tamid comes between the cleanings. So once again, the peg-leg pirate standing between a big fire and a small fire insisted his crew put on their black arms and before their black bandanas and ordered them to clean out the lamps on the boat in two different shifts. All right, now it's time for four blah blah chazorah. Daf Chav Tes. So the symbol for Chav Tes is a cot. So here goes. The princess lying on the cot. That must be more Daf Chav Tes. The princess lying on the cot surrounded by meat roasting on broken pieces of cement, which reminds us Rav Nachman made several statements and included a sim for each one. Two of them were, Yihuri Aver Kashume Avera V'simanech Recha Debisra, thoughts of sin are worse than sin, and the simon is the aroma of roasting meat. Rashi explains that the smell of roasting meat is very disturbing to someone who can't eat it. And the second statement was, Migmar Ba'atikata Kashume Chadasa V'simanech Tina Bartina. Relearning old forgotten material is harder than acquiring new knowledge. And the simon is cement made from old cement. Rashi explains that it's hard to make cement by crumbling and reconstituting an old cement wall than by crumbling fresh dirt. So the princess lying on the cot surrounded by meat, roasting on broken pieces of cement, woke up in the morning. Which reminds us, Ravasi said, Lama Nimshal Esther was shaka. Why is Esther compared with the morning. Rashi brings the Gemara Megillah that Esther said the kapitel of Lamnatzech al Ayelus HaShachar when she reached the chamber of idols to speak to Achashverosh. Lomar Ocham HaShachar Sof Kol Laila Af Esther Sof Kol Nisim. To tell you that just as the morning is the end of the entire night, so too the redemption wrought by Esther is the end of all the miracles. When Gemara asks, well, what about the miracle of Hanukkah that occurred after Purim? Nit Nalichtov Kamrin. We meant to say that Purim is the last miracle allowed to be recorded as part of Tanakh. So the princess lying on the cot surrounded by meat, roasting on broken pieces of cement, woke up in the morning and saw the kemitzah she did at night being burned up as well. Which reminds the Mishnah taught that an animal offering that was shechted at night was invalid and required burning. The father of Rabbi Avin taught a braisa that said, Malika za'ov kemitzahs mincha b'lau tisarif. Also the malika of a bird or the kemitzah of a mincha that was performed at night must be burned. The Gemara asks, well, it's understandable that a bird ola that was nipped at night must be burned because it's already been nipped and therefore there's no way to reverse the process. Why should the kometz be burned? Let the kohen return the flour to the pan containing the rest of the mincha and then take a new kometz at daytime. Rabbi Avin's father explained, Klishar is mekadshin afil shul v'zmano. A klishar consecrates an offering even not at its proper time. Therefore, once the kometz was placed in the klishares, even at night, it can no longer be returned to the rest of the mincha. When this teaching is challenged based on the braisa that teaches that anything offered by day is sanctified by day but not at night, the Gemara answers that the kometz is not sanctified regarding being able to offer it, but it's sanctified enough to become invalid. The Gemara further clarifies that the ton of the braisa holds, Laila ein mechusar zman, that the time frame of night doesn't render something premature, since the night begins the day in Jewish law, whereas yom mechusar zman, the time frame of day, does render something premature if it's to be done the following day. Daf Lamed, so the Simur Daf Lamed is a Melamed, a Rebbe. So here goes. The very holy Rebbe. Holy Rebbe, that must mean Ron Daf Lamed, Melamed. The very holy Rebbe installed a 12-spout washing station outside the bathroom for his Talmidim to wash their hands. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated the general rule, Kol Matum Maim Tom Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Anyone who urinates requires sanctification of his hands and feet, referring to washing from the kir. The Gemara asks, while it's understandable that the feet must be washed, Mishum Nisotzos, because droplets of urine fall on them, what's the reason one needs to wash his hands? Rabbi Abba said this ruling indicates mitzvah l'shapshef, that there's a rabbanim mitzvah to rub off any droplets of urine with one's hands. Since the hands become unclean through this, they too must be washed. Rabbi Abba's explanation supports Rabbi Abba's statement that it's forbidden for a person to go out in public with droplets of urine on his feet, because it'll appear like a person with a cup member, and I'll cast aspersions on his children that they're mamzerim. So the very holy Rebbe installed a 12-spout washing station outside the bathroom for his talmidim to wash their hands, and insisted they bring signed notes that they went to the mikveh before entering class each day, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, no person may enter the Azorah to do the Avodah even if he is Tahor until he immerses himself in a mikveh. Ben Zoma was asked why a Kohen needs to do the Tefillah even if he's Tahor, and he answered that regarding the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, if one who switches from one holy place in Yom Kippur to another holy place, and from a place of Karis punishment to another place of Karis punishment, Tone Tefillah requires Tefillah, then is it not a Kol V'Chomer that one who switches on any day, Mechol HaKodesh, from a non-sacred place, meaning his home, to a sacred place, the base of Mikdash, and from a place where there is no Karis punishment to a place where there is a Karis punishment, should require tefillah? Rabbi Yehuda disagreed and said, Srach tefillah hizo. This is only a reminder tefillah, so that one will recall any old tumah that's upon himself and stop from entering the temple. So the very holy Rebbe installed a 12-spout washing station outside the bathroom for his talmidim to wash their hands, and insisted they bring signed notes that they went to the mikveh before entering class each day, even if one was a metzorah, which reminds us. The Gemara sought to reconcile conflicting braises. In the first braise, Rav Yehuda holds that a metzorah does not need to do tevilah on the day of his purification because he'd already immersed the previous evening. The second braise asks what the purpose was for the lishkas of metzorahim, and it answers that there the metzorahim would immerse themselves before inserting their thumbs and toes into the azorah. And Rav Yehuda says that not only would metzorahim immerse there, rather all people immerse themselves before entering the azorah. This contradicts the first braise where Rav Yehuda states that the metzorah is not required to immerse himself on the eighth day. So the Gemara answers that the first braise refers to where he immersed the previous day, al das bias mikdash, for the intended purpose of entering the base of mikdash. The second braise is where he did not, and the tefillah only purified him from the tumah of tzaras. And two more answers are given. Daf Lamed Aleph. So the symbol of Lamed Aleph is related to law. We use a judge. So here goes. The judge. That must mean we're on Daf Lamed Aleph. The judge from Ein Eitam who dropped his gavel in the canal that led to the mikvah on the Shahar HaMayim, which reminds the Mishnah Daf Lamed Amud Aleph taught that all the tefillahs of the Kohen Gadol are in the Kodesh, referring to the Azorah, atop the base of Parva, except for the first one. The Gemara here brings a braisa that teaches that the first tefillah was Bechol, an unsanctified area, Agabi Shahar HaMayim Ubitzad Lishkasu Haisa, atop the water gate, and it was located on the side of the Kohen Gadol's Lishka. Abai said we can deduce from here that Ein Eitam is a little more than 23 amas higher than the floor of the Azorah. Rashi explains that Ein Eitam is a spring that supplied water via canals to the mikveh used by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. We learned earlier that all the gates of the temple except for the Ulam were 20 amos high. Since the mikvah on top of the gate was 3 amos high, it must be that Ein Etam was slightly more than 23 amos higher than the Azorah floor. So the judge from Ein Etam who dropped his gavel in the canal that led to the mikvah on the Shar HaMayim watched in horror as it sailed down and ripped through the linen sheet, which reminds the Mishnah stated, Peresu Sadin Shel Boots Bein Ola Bein Ha'am, they spread a linen sheet between the Kohen Gadol and the people when he immersed. The Gemara asks what's unique about a sheet made of linen, and answers that it's in order that the Kohen Gadol will realize that the special service of the day is performed with linen begadim. So the judge from Ein Etam who dropped his gavel in the canal that led to the mikvah on the Shar HaMayim watched in horror as it sailed down and ripped through the linen sheet, just as the Kohen Gadol finished putting on his big day Zahav and did his first washing. Which reminds the next Mishnah states, the Kohen Gadol undressed, descended into the mikveh, immersed, ascended, and dried himself. They brought in the big day Zahav, and he put them on, v'kidesh yada v'raglav, and he sanctified his hands and his feet. A group of Rabban said in the presence of the Rebbe, Rav Papa, that the Mishnah, which does not require two sanctifications for the first immersion, does not go according to Rabbi Meir, since he said that the Kohen Gadol performs two sanctifications each time he puts on new begadim. Rav Papa said Rabbi Meir would not require two washings, but has brought explicit proof from a brisa that states he does require two washings. The Gemara goes on to clarify that according to the Rabbanan, who argue with Rabbi Meir and hold the Kohen Gadol only washed once when donning the Big Day Zahav for the first time, the 10th washing was performed when he removed his Big Day Zahav for the last time before he donned his Big Day Chol. Daf Lamed Beis, so the Simur Lamed Beis is a mad scientist in a lab. So here goes. The mad scientist, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Beis. The mad scientist who attempted to extract a ladle in a pan from behind a curtain as a 4-step and a 5-step process, which reminds us that Bryce teaches that the Pasuk, Aaron shall come to the Olamot, is coming to teach that Aaron comes only to remove the kaf and the machtav which he had left in the Kodesh Kodashim. But called Parsha Kula Nemra al Seder Chutz Mepasek Zeh, for the entire Parsha of the Yom Kippur Avodah is stated in chronological order except for this Pasuk. Rashi explains that the ram offerings of the Kohen Gadol and the people are done prior to the removal of the ladle and the pan, while the Kohen Gadol is dressed in the Big Day Zahav, but the Pasuk lists their service after the removal of the kaf and the machtav. The Gemara asks what the reason is that the ram offerings must intervene between the special Yom Kippur service and the removal of the kaf and the machta, and Rav Chisna answers, Gemiri, we have a tradition, which Rashi defines as Halacha Moshe Mesinai, that the Kohen Gadol does 5 tefillos and 10 kedushim on the day of Yom Kippur, and if we say the parsha is in order, you'll only find 3 tefillos and 6 kedushim. So the mad scientist who attempted to extract a ladle in a pan from behind a curtain as the 4th step in a 5-step process, wash his hands and feet twice and quickly change, which reminds us, a brisa asks, where do we know that each and every tefillah requires 2 kiddushin? The Torah states, Ufashet v'rachatz v'rachatz v'lavash. He shall remove and wash and he shall wear. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says that the kiddushin can be learned from a Kal v'chomer. Ma b'makom she'ein tohu tefillah. If in a case where tefillah is not required midiraisa all year long to enter the Azora, tohu kiddush, washing is required, but makom she'tohu tefillah. Then in a case such as Yom Kippur where tefillah is required midiraisa, is it not logical that kiddush is also required? He learns that 2 kedushim are required from the hekesh of pshita to levisha, removing the begadim to putting them on, just as donning the begadim requires a kiddush, so to removing the begadim requires a kiddush. So the mad scientist who attempted to extract a ladle in a pan from behind a curtain as the 4th step in a 5-step process, washed his hands and feet twice and quickly changed, after his experiment killed the neighbor's cow. Which reminds the Mishnah stated, Hevi was a tamid kratzo. They brought him the tamid, he made an incision. The Gemara asked, what is kratzo? And Ula answered that it's an expression of killing, meaning the Kohen Gadol shechted the tamid. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak said that Ula bases his explanation on the pasuk, Egel yafa fia mitzrayim, carrots mitzafum va mitzrayim is a fair heifer, but a carrot from the north is surely coming. Rav Yosef explained, Mitzrayim was a fair kingdom, but murderous peoples from the north came upon her. Yirmiyahu was prophesizing that Babel will conquer Mitzrayim. We see that the word carrots has the connotation of killing. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous Masechtas. Number 1, which daf do we learn that we put on the shel yad before the shel rosh because ein mavirin al mitzvos? That's on daf Lamed Gimel. Good. Number 2, which daf do we machos ben zumen Reb Yehuda whether a tahor immersing before entering the azara is a deraisa chiyuv or just a srach tefila? That's on daf Lamed. Good. Number 3. Which daf when a linen sheet was used when the Kohen Gadol went to the mikvah to remind them the avod of the day was done in big day boots? That's on daf Lamed Aleph. Good. Number 4. Which daf when according to Rabbi Yochanan the Dama Tamid comes between the two cleanings of the menorah because the pasuk says to split the service into 2 mornings? That's on daf Lamed Gimel. Good, number five. Which stuff do we learn? The word kratzo means killing. That's on Daf. Lamed Beis. Good, number six. Which stuff do we learn? That the Mishnah that says the Kohen Gadol did one Kiddush at the first Tevilah does not go according to Rabbi Meir, who says he did two. That's on Daf. Lamed Aleph. Good, number seven. Which Daf do we have a Melchukas on how we know that there are two Kiddushin for every Tevilah? That's on Daf. Lamed Beis. Good, number eight. Which stuff do we learn? Relearning forgotten material is like making cement from broken pieces of cement. That's on Daf. Chav Tes. Good, number nine. Which stuff do we learn that the Avodah, the Maracha Gadol, comes before the Maracha Shnia because Kaparas Maruba? That's on Daf. Lamed Gimel. Good, and number ten. Which stuff do we learn the spring of Ein Etam, which supplied water for the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, was a little more than 23 amos higher than the Azara floor? That's on Daf. Lamed Aleph. Excellent. So now it's time for the three bonus questions. Number one. Which stuff do we learn the reading the Parsha of the Miluim is Ma'akev? That's on Daf. Hey, Inchkalan. Good. Number two. Which stuff do we have the question My Chanukah? That's on Daf. Chaf Aleph and Shavuos. Good. And number three. Which stuff do we learn two of the seven Havdalahs mentioned in the Torah that are part of the Havdalah is the Havdalah between Levim and Yisraelim and between Levim and Kohanim? That's on Daf. Kufdal and Psachim. Excellent. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Ram Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.